Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One to Wrap Up podcast for episode 5. I am Brian Cullen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Escher. Allie, how are you?
If I'm being completely honest, I had a really crappy day. I don't know how I'm going to rally for this podcast, but the episode was so great, so I'm going to try to bring the energy that I don't have.
Just invoke the spirit of Cheyenne and anything is possible.
I mean, it's like you can't even cry at your desk anymore without someone coming up important from another department to meet you.
Did you cry cute at least, or was it an ugly cute or ugly cry?
No, I'm not friends with Cheyenne, so I don't know how to... That was something I was thinking about when she was saying you cried ugly. I was like, she needs lessons. It's a cute puke, the cute cry.
Right. She knows how to cute do things.
Yeah, no, I guess I don't have any cute friends. Just kidding, Molly. You're super cute.
Oh, Molly Block.
She is really cute. Okay. Anyway.
So yeah, no, this is a great episode though. Totally in on this one. Was the last week we got all the negativity, or was 2 weeks ago? But this one, this was a great one.
Well, it's actually funny you should say that, because I want to say it was Andrew Styles who wrote a question 2 weeks ago when all the negativity happened, and I told him I would ask it last week, and then I think I forgot to ask it last week because my printer didn't print it. Just kidding. I probably didn't copy and paste it, but I remember doing it. But
that's all that counts.
He asked a question that was to the effect of, like, are all these haters like silenced by last week? If you weren't silenced by last week, I mean, this is level one, Are You the One?
I mean, absolutely. Like, it didn't even start off that well. It kind of started off kind of a little slow, a little sluggish. And then right after like the date, things really just hit hyper gear and it was fantastic stuff.
One thing I just want to say at the top. So I was pretty high on Hannah last week. You were pretty high on Hannah last week, right?
Yeah, I think I started to change. I started to like her.
So in the interest of equal time, we got a comment from Mercury 13, who was bringing to our attention. He said, you guys have to rewatch. He or she, that's gender ambiguous, Mercury 13. You guys have to rewatch the Chuck and Hannah shower scene because it's so weirdly edited. All the voiceover is dubbed and was two frames, one of Hannah closing the door, microphone in hand, and them in the shower. And he said last week, I talked about Hannah, the impression I got from her, and that has not changed. I also could write an essay on misogyny, slut shaming, and hypocrisy on reality shows. That being said, no one is obligated no one is obliged to fight Hannah's battles. I think it means no one's obligated to fight Hannah's battles. If Hannah wants to be defended, she has to herself. So, I mean, that's another perspective. I don't necessarily agree, but I definitely see the point of view.
Yeah, and I do agree with the shower scene being a little edited and cut. I mean, I can't imagine they have their mics on when they're in a shower, so I assume they had to be weirdly edited and put together anyway, so... I mean, that, what can you do with that?
Also the same thing you said about the music. Like, you know, the volume of the shower is probably difficult to edit around.
Right. So, I mean, maybe some of those quotes were, like, from totally different times. So, yeah, you never know.
And the last thing is we got another 5-star review on iTunes. This one, you know, it's all love, so I appreciate it. But... let me get to it. Sorry. Guys, today's not my day. I don't know what my excuse for last week is.
They're going to the World Series. How are you not like on cloud nine right now?
Yeah. And I saw you tweet like a jealous tweet, but, the Mets losing still wouldn't help the Yankees have done better this season. So
no, they wouldn't have, but I enjoy the misery of others. So that's
well,
my thing.
There's some real miserable Cubs fans right now.
Yeah. So but I don't really know many Cubs fans, so I can't embrace their suckiness. So.
Molly, diehard Cubs fan. I promise one day I'll stop talking about Molly, but diehard Cubs fan.
Right.
So it's called, it actually was on the just general reality TV Wrap Up network, which you're more than welcome to give us good feedback on there too. Or you could subscribe directly to us on robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. But 5 stars from SSU Prof. Love the Are You the One in Challenge pods. So thank you to this professor, I'm assuming SSU prof, who reveals that he has a crush on me. But
wait, what?
Yeah, I sent this to you. Don't act surprised.
Oh, this is the same guy. I didn't know this was the same person.
Yeah. So thank you. I'm flattered.
I'll take the compliment for the podcast. You can have the flattery.
I have a very masculine voice, so I'm surprised that I'm wooing anyone. I don't get good feedback on my voice a lot, so thank you.
Does anyone like their voice? I think that's the thing everyone hates.
It's
unless
bad.
Unless you're like James Earl Jones.
But let's get into it. I've wasted enough of our time here. Little Merman. Can you explain why that was called that? I was waiting for another mermaid reference. Did I miss something?
No, I have no idea. Was that even the name of the episode? I have no idea.
That was the name of the episode, and I was like, I already wasted my Zoolander reference last week.
I just know it's episode 5. I didn't realize they gave titles. So.
Yeah, they do. So it starts with, we all suck.
Yeah. They do. So it's not going well. After four, they only had 2 matches, and yeah, they all suck. Because they're not following their heart. But remember, guys, your perfect match is here. Just don't forget that.
Oh, my God. I'm just having too bad a day to start talking about following your heart. Like, I can't. I can't with that. But we'll get into that later. But I'm surprised you said that this, you didn't like the beginning of this. Because while it wasn't the explosion or the drama that we've expected from Kayla, and I don't condone violence, I did think this was a comical exchange besides the hit.
Right, it was something. I mean,
it was something.
I mean, that's more than we can say about Kayla's first 4 episodes. So we're building on something, but yeah, I mean, I guess it's good to see like a little fire out of her. But I mean, I guess hitting violence is never the answer, kids. Don't resort to violence. But Connor's just reaction of it, like, oh, you're like a child, you're a kid. Again, it was like I said last week. All the guys feel like they need the girls to impress them, and it's just more of that. It's just annoying me.
It was just funny to me, like. The hitting wasn't funny to me, but Connor's reaction, like, you just laid a hand on me. Like, he's just like, you laid a hand on me. He said that,
especially
like, 3
times.
Especially
coming from the 6'6", 240 Jack guys. Like, you laid a hand on me. Hey. Like, Connor, you could literally snap Kayla in half like a twig.
Look, violence is violence. You know, he could still be a victim of domestic violence.
Of course.
But his reaction was so funny because he's like, why are you upset with me at all? Like, there's no reason to be upset with me at all. It's like, yeah, there is a reason to be upset with you. You were so into each other and then inexplicably you're ignoring her. Yeah, there is a reason to be upset with you. And I feel like either he's too thick to like realize that, or he's just really trying to make himself look good and move on. Yeah, and just throw all the blame on her.
I mean, it has to be the latter. And I think what she was upset about is not that he was ignoring her, is that, I mean, didn't they sleep together last episode?
And now show it's, Chelsea
oh,
report.
I'm just going to go to Chelsea in the match. I'm sorry, I'm going to be completely fine with it. I think that's more what she was upset about.
Wait, no, but I think it started unraveling this whole week, because at the end of the matchup ceremony last week, we get Connor saying he's not into it. And then we don't see them flirting this episode at all. I mean, like, oh, actually, wait, I'm confusing events. This is the beginning of the episode right after the matchup. But I don't know. I feel, but even last week, though, he was still, I don't know, playing both sides. I guess we got more of the story than Kayla got. So last week, we understood what was happening before she did. But yeah, you're right. I don't know. Forget it.
Well, let's flip that and drop it in randomly. But then Chelsea jumps in and... I haven't decided if I like Chelsea or not. I'm leaning towards no, but she's just a little irritating in the way she like jumps in and just her kind of, I'm not a big Chelsea fan.
I'm just, the way I see it is, I feel like I would like her off the show way more than I like her on the show. Yeah, like, I think she's a beautiful girl. She's clearly very intelligent. She knows what's what. She doesn't take shit. I like all these things, but
the way she's just like rubbing it in is like, it's like a weird rub it, like gloating and over that. You're not, it's just a weird look. I don't know.
I do think she's either A, thirsty for camera time, like, and she's just trying to explode for no reason. Cause yes, I agree with you. She has no reason to explode. And I don't believe that we really saw Kayla taunting her. I don't believe that there were moments off the camera that we didn't see of Kayla like provoking her. Maybe there were, I don't think so. And so for Chelsea to be this angry, she's just jealous. Like, she's just jealous that Connor and Kayla had a connection and that Kayla's saying resentful words, but look, you won. So it's like, why do you have to jump in and like flip out and get involved? Connor even here is like kind of pushing her away and telling her not to get involved. And she's just saying, you're like, you show over and over again while you're the youngest girl in the house. And it's like, yeah, why do you have to step in here? I didn't really understand then.
Yeah, I mean, like, what is Kayla, 2 years younger than Chelsea? Like, come on. You guys were probably, like, in the same schools for all your life. Like, you're not that much younger.
But it is funny where, where Kayla's, like, only reaction is, like, get away from me, like, stop breathing. like you're breathing, you're over there breathing. It's like, Kayla's not equipped to handle someone like Chelsea. I think Kayla is a great girl in her own right, but I do think that Chelsea could run circles around her in terms of having a verbal argument. And the other thing is Kayla's genuinely hurt. She says to the confessional, like, Connor still has my heart despite what's going on. So I feel bad for Kayla here because this is your nightmare, is that the guy doesn't stand by you and finds his perfect match and you're left connectionless. So,
yeah.
I definitely feel like I like Chelsea, but I don't love her on the show.
No, I mean, Kayla's exhibiting the perfect, like, trying to deflect that she does. Every time they show Chelsea and Connor, it's, oh, I don't care. Just let him get out of the house. Oh, I don't care. I mean, she was almost, I think, in tears when they won in the confessional, so she obviously cared. So she's just trying to act tough and act like she doesn't care. But, I mean, she had to care, as you can see.
Molly Block wants to know, in a re-listen of your preview podcast, I laughed out loud at how high both of you are on Kayla. Biggest disappointment of the season based on initial gut reactions. So is Kayla the biggest disappointment?
Yeah, I mean, I think we touched on this last week. It's not even, like, bad by her. Just we built her, or I won't speak for you, but I built her up to be, like...
You can speak for me. We both talked about it.
Like, we built her up to be, like, this, like, superstar reality person, and she's just kind of been, like, a one-note player so far, and just her thing with Connor. I'm hoping now that Connor's out of the house and the back half of the season, she can kind of spread her wings and fly and be the person that we want her to be. So we'll see.
I have to say, in terms of, like, yeah, we definitely talked about her being a letdown, but if I'm going to say biggest letdown of the season, I don't know, because we have gotten something from her and we've gotten, like, nothing from other people. I hate to say it, but I think Tyler's a little bit of a letdown. I don't think it's his fault. I just think we're not getting, maybe, and who knows? We're just not seeing him at all. And yeah, he was, like, my favorite guy going into it, and I think yours too. Mm-hmm. So I just am kind of disappointed that we haven't seen him doing anything.
And it's frustrating because whenever we do see him, he usually has, like, a funny one-liner every episode. It's just, that's, like, his entire story. It's him just saying something funny about the challenge or about a date or about whatever.
I'm trying to look through. I'm looking through my binder to see who else is even on the show. No, and it's weird because we do get, like, times where we, like, Amanda, where was Amanda this episode? She's certainly not a letdown, but, like, was she on camera for 1 second this episode?
Yeah, there was a big shift in the people who were on. Like, Hunter was barely on. Mike was barely on. And, like, those were two of the major players early on. Devin was a little bit on, but he kind of had it down. So the major people from the first few weeks kind of had a took to the bench this week,
which I don't mind. And that's kind of on par with what's happened in the past is right. Like, this has to reshuffle, but we are missing. Still, we have nothing really from Mel that's worth talking about, and nothing mm-hmm. from Tyler, you know? So Austin, like, we thought he, like, came up for air and then he went right back into like who. So it's I don't know if that is fair to say it's disappointing because we're not seeing them. Is it more disappointing that somebody doesn't do anything to get airtime, or is it more disappointing that Kayla is getting airtime and that airtime is disappointing?
I guess the latter, because if they're not getting airtime, we could just imagine a scenario where they are doing things that we would be interested in. They're just not showing them. But here they are showing Kayla. We're just not that interested in it.
So then they transition pretty nicely. You know, I love a good segue to Hannah and Chuck, because Hannah's talking shit about Kayla to Chuck.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about that is there's nothing. I won't really judge people on that because there's just nothing else going on in their lives that all they have to comment on is what is going on in the house. So, like, they can't even be like, oh, like, this show or this movie or these other people that I saw. It's like literally their entire life are these other 19 people. So they have to just comment on it to each other.
Oh, I'm not judging them at all. I mean, we spend 2 hours of our week shit talking these people, and we have a life, and we're not on the show, and we have literally anything else. We could literally be doing anything else right now. So no judgment at all. But then Chuck kind of awkwardly just right says, you know, I'm sorry for not standing up for you. And then it's just kind of over. Hannah kind of is like, okay, second chance. Thoughts.
it's not not unexpected, because again, if this was the real world and they had a chance to separate from each other, maybe she would have cut ties with him sooner. But because they are stuck in this house, and until you do something egregious, everyone's just going to keep coming back to the person they've had the initial connection with, because it's easy and it's comfortable and it's familiar. So this was fully expected that if Chuck, if either of them wanted a second chance, the other one was complicit, they would go back to each other.
See, I disagree, sort of. I mean, from a girl's perspective, what happened was completely egregious. Like, what happened, like, I almost think it's worse that he didn't stand up for her than that he slept with Brittany. I mean, they're both pretty bad, but in terms of, like, you straight up having the opportunity and just to stop someone from just wrecking you on national TV and in front of 17 other people, and you don't take it, that's horrible. Like, defend her honor, man, or get to step in. Am I surprised that Hannah took him back? I'm surprised that this conversation was 0.3 seconds. I'm surprised that there wasn't a little bit more emphasizing how bad it was for Hannah. There wasn't, she really just said, like, I don't like to look like a fool, so don't cross me again. I do think it's realistic. Maybe it's my own issues that I'm usually like Abby Maria on Survivor. Like, if you fuck with me, you're dead, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's something to this. Like, when I first saw this scene, I was like, you know, maybe Hannah's kind of smart. Like, establish your ground, give him one chance. You still like him, so it's worth pursuing. He made one slip up. Maybe he'll correct it and move forward. So I was like, maybe this is my own bias that I think she should just be like one and done with his chances. But and when you look a little bit down the road, hindsight's 20/20, maybe she shouldn't have let him slide.
And even more to Hannah's defense, like, this wasn't the first time they talked about it. Like, she did either rip, I don't fully remember the scene from last week if she ripped into him or but she like told him like how much she was disrespected and hurt that he didn't defend her. So this wasn't like their first time they were even discussing it. So I'm sure they discussed it even more at the matchup ceremony and it wasn't shown. So this was maybe like the third series of this conversation. So I can understand it being a little more to the point.
I don't know. What we saw in the secret scene, and maybe we missed something, but Chuck had nothing to say for himself. Like, she said exactly what you're saying. You disrespected me. You know, I don't like to look stupid, whatever. And then Chuck just said, like, I put my heart out there twice. Like, he didn't say anything of substance. Like, I kind of wanted her to make him say more to prove that he's not a douchebag. But, you know, we can't all be me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not saying I wouldn't have done the same thing.
Right.
But who knows? So then they go to the boom boom room and he says, you're my number one, which he said to Brittany last week, like, you're my first choice right now. And my reaction to this, you know, without knowing what comes next, was like, is he only now going back to Hannah because Brittany's not his match? Like, if let's just say they didn't go into the truth booth and they come back from the date, they don't get voted into the truth booth, so Chuck and Brittany could still be a match. Is he going and having sex with Hannah?
I think he would still always try to, but I think he would just be more prone to being with Brittany. I think just them being told they weren't a match, then it's like, oh, let me just go try to rekindle things with Hannah. I think that's just his mindset, is he's just, one toy was taken away from him, so he just goes back to the old one.
I don't know that he even had a mindset. I think he's just like an opportunist, and the opportunity presents itself. I mean, he hasn't really had to work, except in the beginning when Hannah was establishing herself and, you know, those like real conversations that now are bullshit.
Right. Complete bullshit.
So then this was weird because Stacey's like reflecting on Rashida walking out of the matchup ceremony. And she's the one who's saying that, oh, Rashida crying made me emotional. I understand, so easy to get discouraged because either the girls don't have connections and the guys are focused on the matches that aren't matches, you know, whatever. Yeah. But Stacey's the one who tweeted out like that it was bullshit and Rashida was just drunk.
I'm also confused on, is she feeling empathy towards Rashida in that she is in the same situation as her, or does she think that her and Alec are actually a couple?
I don't know that she falls into either of those boats that she described, because I don't think she could I don't think she's someone who feels like she doesn't have a connection, and she's not somebody who feels like her main connection has been ruled out. I almost think she's like an outside observer in the situation in her own mind.
Yeah, I think she thinks she's one of the lucky ones that has a connection and it's reciprocated.
Or not necessarily reciprocated, but it's still open because they haven't been ruled not a match.
Yeah, the one that hasn't been closed on yet.
And I think if she feels like the door is a crack open, that she can wedge herself through it. And so she won't be discouraged
and
by that.
She wedges herself in the bathroom, so she has no problem there.
And that door was closed.
Yes, it was.
So Kristen Kinnear, in response to what we had talked about earlier with Cheyenne, how do I become Cheyenne's best friend? I need someone to tell me when I've been drunk, ugly, crying over a boy. If I knew, I wouldn't tell you because I would want to use it.
I don't know either. My mom wants to adopt her, so she wants to offer the same type of advice.
That was amazing. I was hoping that you wouldn't say that and you would make some, like, not like sexual comment about Cheyenne, but like say that you're into, like, something like she's the top of my power rankings or whatever. Right. And I would be like, well, she's your sister.
Not going down that route.
So clearly you wouldn't do anything for love.
I won't do that.
But will you put your face in a bucket of chum?
I don't think so.
Oh, come on.
Maybe.
It's like, this was us awkwardly segueing into the challenge, but I thought they were going to have to eat some dead squid.
I mean, that's what I thought. I thought that's where we're going. I mean, he literally showed a plate of dead squid, and then all of a sudden what they had in front of them was not a plate of dead squid.
I then thought they were going to have to bob for squid, which would have been nicer, but which was foreshadowing, because I believe I thought you said tentacles last week. So, like, clearly we are the new Back to the Future.
Absolutely. I see what Ari the One sees.
I don't see anything right now because my contact just rolled into the back of my eye.
But, well, that sounds painful.
The show must go on. I'm a professional.
This is, if anyone was asking, again, this is why this is not a video podcast.
Yeah, although I could do like a YouTube video on like how to get a contact out of your eye while you're recording. Okay, so when Ryan says there will be three rounds of escalating barfitude, I like really wanted to come up with a tweet that was like Ryan hosting Test My Barfitude, but it just wasn't working.
How many times did you write something out, delete it, write something out, delete it?
I work all internal. It's all in the mind.
Oh, okay. Mental crossouts.
What do you think about this being a girls-only challenge?
I have no problem with it. I think it creates interesting situations and to see. But the only issue I have is, again, there's no real incentive for them to push themselves to win. Like, other than Chelsea really trying to get a deal with Connor, who even in this house has a connection with someone? Other than now, Chelsea, like, now looking at it, now that Chelsea and Connor are a perfect match, like, where are the connections? Like, all we have is Zach and Cheyenne.
Yeah, we got a question about that, but the thing is, like, that's why we see Rashida's motivation, is because she wants to find a connection, and I guess that's the only way to do it. If you have guys hung up on other girls, the only way to do it is to pull them out of the house and get on a date, and vice versa with girls hung up on guys. And I think there's always motivation to win the date in being on camera. Like, you saw the guys just in the tire challenge just wanting to get a date, and they don't care who it's with. So there clearly is motivation to win, but it's not... Right. It's not in the traditional way of like Kiki and Devin wanting to get out of the house on a date. Like, we really don't have that many couples who can say, I want to spend time with them. I want to go to the honeymoon suite.
Right. But I mean, in terms of the girls doing it, I mean, I thought it was fun. It was a fun challenge.
I just think if it is like moving forward, what Cheyenne's saying later, that like she can't believe the guys are treating the girls this way. Like, if the dynamics of the house really are the guys are in charge, and like you said, the guys are all acting like the girls have to compete for them, then this wasn't a great challenge. I mean, the challenge was still good, but this wasn't like, you know, maybe the right thing to watch the girls like drip chum for these guys.
Yeah, I guess that could be fair.
So I don't know. Overall, I like this challenge otherwise, except it was pretty lame that they didn't have to eat it. So the first seven move on from finding golf balls with their hand in, a bucket of squid. Brittany said something to the effect of like, her mom would be disappointed. She knows how to bait a hook and she didn't, and she's one of the first eliminated. This is just funny. Roses Are Red on Twitter tweeted, Brittany says mama would be disappointed. She couldn't dig through squid. All I could think was, that's the least of her disappointment.
Yeah, I think something bad's going to happen in about 20 minutes. So her mama might be a little more disappointed in her baby girl.
So round two is, I'm curious what you would pick here. It's either clear your plate of pig's feet, which again, there's a, Amanda let us know last week. She can confirm the hot dogs were raw.
They were. They were.
So, Brian, you need to do a little more cooking on those hot dogs you've been eating. And so the pig's feet, which I don't know how you're supposed to prepare pig's feet, but they didn't look.
They didn't look overly cooked.
They didn't look well cooked.
No.
Or
five shots of hot sauce.
What would you take down here?
I probably would go for the pig's feet.
Do you have any experience with pig feet? Are you a Rashida?
I have no experience with pig feet. I just know I don't do that well with hot sauce.
I want to say I would do the hot sauce. Most people did the hot sauce. Rashida took down the pig's feet because she said she has like a experience with it. She has an advantage in the challenge.
Mm-hmm. And this is where Tyler had a funny one-liner. He's like, hot sauce and pig's feet. That's what I call a snack.
And here, Kayla's still in the running at this point, and I was really rooting for her because I really was curious to see who she would have picked.
Yeah, I was hoping she would just, like, say screw it and just pick Connor out of pure spite. Like, are they allowed to do that? Pick someone who's already ruled not your match? Because that would be hysterical.
Was there something like that in the past? No.
I don't think so, but I feel like we've always talked about wanted that. To see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like then he would have said no.
I think we've asked, what are you allowed to pick someone in the matchup ceremony who's not your match, just so you can like keep yourselves as like a known
strategy,
zero.
Yeah.
So I think we asked about that.
So yeah, I don't know. I think she would have picked someone else for spite, but that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
It would have been really interesting if Chelsea won, because this was another twist, is that the overall winner gets to pick the date for herself and for the secondary winner. So second place winner. So if, can you imagine if Chelsea wins, picks Connor, and then gets to assign someone to Kayla?
That would be really funny. Or if Kayla wins and she has to assign someone to Chelsea. Wonder if she would have assigned Connor. I don't know.
I think she might have. Cause she keeps saying, I want you both out of the house. And maybe she kind of would have looked, that would have been like a hero edit. If she like took it for the team, broke her own heart, and send them on their way.
Yeah.
But anyway, she doesn't win. So in round three, Chelsea wins because they're bobbing for apples in a bucket of chum, which I just kept thinking of. This is my second SpongeBob reference in two episodes, but I just kept thinking of the chum bucket. Anyway, I was like, it can't be that bad, right? But anyway, they're bobbing for apples. Chelsea, no problem. Rashida, this is like one of the saddest moments I've seen in a long time on television.
Like, I think she was like bawling. She was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And like Mel was like, I don't understand. I thought Mel like quit. Why didn't Rashida just win?
It was bizarre because Mel takes a dive, but she still like has her face lingering around the chum, like to pretend she's trying. And I don't know if like MTV said you're not allowed to quit because then it would be default. Like, I guess you'd still have to wait for Rashida to bob. Otherwise, it's a tie among everyone who quit.
Yeah.
But
she was like legitimately just, she was like, come on, Rashida, you can do it. Meanwhile, like the whole thing was odd.
If I'm going to throw the competition, I'm not putting my mouth anywhere near that chum. I'm just like saying chum.
Just do the Kayla move. Just be like, nope, can't do it. I'm out.
But yeah, so eventually Rashida gets it and she pops her head up with the apple in her mouth like a pig on a spit. And it's just like huffing and puffing and dripping chum. It was like such a disturbing yet triumphant moment.
It was also just because they kept coming back to her in a confessional without her weave and then her in the challenge with her weave. And she just looks like two completely different people. Like it just seemed like someone else was just commenting on her being her.
Well, jumping ahead, it does answer. So Rashida eventually takes her weave out because it got destroyed by the chum and reveals her hair underneath. And so it does answer the question of why she has different hair in the press pictures than she does the first day of the show. And it also answers when they take these press pictures, because I don't think she like showed up in Hawaii, got a weave in Hawaii, and like took the pictures, then got a weave, and then started the show. I mean, clearly they take the pictures after.
That seems to be the case.
Which I didn't know. So thank you, Rashida.
There you go.
So back to the, so Chelsea wins and picks Connor. And now all of a sudden, like, Connor's all about it.
Okay, serious question. Because I like, if after I watched it, I kind of thought back to it. I don't remember this ever happening. Have they ever kissed?
No. No.
Is there any romantic feelings?
Oh, you're jumping ahead. We got so many questions about this. And yeah, I mean, their date was painful. Okay,
we'll save it for them. But it, like, after like the first 20 minutes I was watching, like, I don't think they've ever kissed. And even when they're like, but we'll get to it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's all, everyone in America, the 0.0001% of America who watches the show are wondering the same thing. Yeah. So anyway, Rashida gets assigned Nelson, and she's so excited, so cute. Like, she doesn't even care who it is. She's just excited. And it doesn't seem, although she is trying to be a singer off of this, so you would think that it's for camera time, but it is coming off genuine, that she just genuinely wants to find a connection.
Yeah, I totally agree. 100% genuine. So when she's just a really good actress.
When it comes to the voting, what's the wisdom here? Do you want to vote in Chelsea and Connor, or do you want to just assume that that's so obvious and just use your chance on someone else?
No, I think you have to get a first perfect match. If they already had one or two in the bank, then you can maybe say, okay, we can kind of keep them aside, and by like the week 8 or 9, if we really need to throw them in, sure, we can do it. But you just need to get that first one just to get the ball rolling and just rule some things out and just see that you can actually do it. And it just helps start to match things up.
I agree. And maybe it will stop the, like, oh, this is the obvious choice. And the obvious choice is never right. And, you know, like, I mean, while this wasn't Connor's first choice, it is a pretty obvious choice. And it was Chelsea's obvious choice. So I do think that I agree with you totally, but they're also in a different place. Like, you were bringing up before, and one of our listeners brings it up later. Like, they have nothing else. So it's almost like you're not getting anywhere by confirming Chelsea and Connor. You're not eliminating other people. Like, it's just kind of like, okay, now it's Chelsea and Connor. Now what?
But I agree with that. But the only other thing is, if, like, the other couple, let's say, was a love triangle situation, or where you think it maybe it could be something, but, I mean, Rashida and Nelson, I mean, yes, Chelsea thought there could be a match, but for the rest of them, I'm sure they had, like, I don't know, this maybe, who knows, I was just throwing darts against the wall. So if there was, like, if this was, like, Amanda and Mike before they were ruled out or something like that, where it'd be like, okay, well, now we can maybe do that also. But there was just no other alternative. They just had to do Chelsea and Connor.
Right. And even in that situation, I think this is still the move, because we've been begging for them to throw one of the original four into the truth booth.
Right.
So I do think this was the move. Yeah. Because you can never be 100% sure.
Right.
So we get kind of a almost steamy moment from Cheyenne and Zach when they go on the date. Nelson's out of the house on the date, so Zach's like, I'm going to make a move now. And, you know, they have a cute interaction. He moons her a little bit. He's like, you love that olive skin. Like, I thought that was pretty funny. But it's so friend-zoney. And then Nelson, like, I guess, takes... Oh, wait. Nelson's here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say. I'm confused. But anyway, Nelson comes out of nowhere, like, kisses her on the forehead, mauls her.
Yeah.
And what is significant about this moment to me is, like, he leaves and Zach's like, that was lame. And Cheyenne gets mad at him for saying that. Like, that's not fair. No, it is kind of fair. It was pretty lame.
It was very lame. Yeah, I was a little surprised by Cheyenne's reaction, too. I thought she would be like, yeah, he's a jerk or something like that. Because in her confessional, she was like, oh, he's just being a dog, peeing out of fire hydrant, marking his territory. So, like, wasn't she secretly liked it? She secretly didn't like it, but she outwardly defended him, which was kind of an odd move from her.
What I like is that Cheyenne handles her own business. I think she just kind of squashed the drama between them, was trying to, like, you know, I can say bad stuff about him, but you can't, that kind of thing. And I could respect that. Like, I like that Cheyenne isn't talking shit about Nelson with Zach, and then to Nelson being like, yeah, it sucks, we're not a match. You know, I like that she's going to handle her business. So I think almost that's why she kind of checks Zach there, but she's still, she doesn't approve of Nelson, but she just also doesn't approve of Zach weighing in on it.
Yeah. And I think she's also just trying to build a connection with Zach with Zach, not in spite of Nelson, which you see sometimes from a lot of these other people.
What do you think of Zach at this point? Because Zach's saying, like, oh, I have to sit down with Nelson because I believe Cheyenne's my match. And I just remember what you were saying last week. Like, you are so right. Like, where he is just kind of saying, like, oh, you're my perfect match. And I know you said, like, Cheyenne said it was bullshit last week. But, like, he is just kind of saying that. And Johnny Langan wrote to me that he doesn't like Zach. He was like, whatever. He said something funnier, but it was like controversial opinion or like under the radar worst person. No, it was like under the radar worst person is Zach. And he was pointing to like he just wants TV time, like when he just went for whatever date and thinks doesn't buy this with Cheyenne, that he just wanted to find someone to make a connection with. What do you make of Zach?
To a degree, I get that. And maybe to a degree, he did try to start something with Cheyenne just to have a storyline. But it seems pretty genuine. Like, it seems like they do get along, that they do, like, they're flirty, they're laughing together. It seems like they do click. So I don't, maybe for him, it started out as just trying to find someone to have a storyline with. But I think he's gotten into it.
I don't know. I feel like their connection. Janovic Acevedo asked, what do you guys think of Zach and Cheyenne? In my opinion, I love them and hopefully they're a match. I like them both individually. I even like them together and their banter, whatever. And I get they did have a kiss that Cheyenne says went well. I don't buy that they really have chemistry. I don't really feel like they're clicking. I think it's like square peg, round hole kind of thing. They're both cool. They get along really well. But I don't know that they really have chemistry. And I've never really felt like Cheyenne was into it last week. And even when they're kissing, jumping ahead a little bit, like they're kissing and it's going on for a long time. They're like making out, but they're not touching each other.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So, I don't know if they're both like trying to make something work that's not 100% there. But I'm not, I like them both getting screen time, but I don't know that this matters that much to either of them. Give them credit for trying. Who knows? Like, they could be right. A perfect match, but I don't think it's going to work out in the long run.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see it.
Okay, you're going to have to talk about the date because I wrote in my notes, go back. Somehow I missed the first part of the date.
The date was them going on powerboard surfboards, but they weren't surfing. They were more like riding them. So I guess it'd be more complicated for them to stand up. But that was the date. I mean, it looked pretty fun, so... Shout out! I mean, I think the dates have actually been pretty good this year, so shout out to MTV for that.
Yeah, that's probably, again, I really think that's why they only have four couples going. Too expensive. Yeah, like four people.
Could be. I'm surprised they don't just do, like maybe a top two, like, really good date, and the other two get, like, just go to a bar and get drinks or something like that. Just to get them out of the house and have them do something.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I would watch that. What do you think of Nelson and Rashida on the date?
I feel bad for Rashida. Like, she's so happy just to be with someone that maybe she can form a connection with. And it seems like Nelson is maybe sort of into it. And then, boom, confessional. Oh, I'm still in the Cheyenne. This is just friends. This means nothing to me. So I was like, I feel bad for her.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think that Nelson, I totally think Nelson's a victim of now I can't have her, so I want her more. And she's starting to even move on, and I want her even more. Because all we get from Nelson is like, yeah, Rashida's fine, but like, she's not Cheyenne. And like, all we really saw was like, call me Poppy and I'll give you an Oreo.
Right.
So.
I don't know. But yeah, I felt bad for Rashida. Because she does genuinely seem like she wants to find someone. So, just... Poor Rashida.
And from Chelsea and Connor on their date, you know, their alone time on the date, we get that line that has been like played by MTV all over, which right. is like, you know, he says you care, your career shows how much you care for helping people, and wealth shouldn't be measured by the amount in your bank account, should be measured by, it should be measured by, I don't know, I'm bored, you're a wealthy girl. But like, whatever, you know. Connor's like a pretty deep guy. He's gone through some real tough experiences, so I don't blame him for having mantras and having these kinds of deep quotes. And I get that Chelsea gets that. I think on paper, they're an amazing match. I don't see it.
I don't see it at all. I don't see any spark between them.
Speaking of spark, then we get Zach finally making a move, and Cheyenne has excellent feedback.
Yeah, she's getting hot.
One thing that's weird is, like, so they get to the matchup. Am I skipping anything?
No, that was it.
So, or the deliberation. I always forget that word. Words are hard. And they're both like, let's just get to it. Like, our bags are packed. Like, send us out. And it's like, can't Chelsea see, like, she's a smart girl. I feel like she's, I want to say, like, I don't know. But if I were Chelsea, I would be like, this kid just totally played Kayla out to be a fool. And he's going to do the same to me. Like, I don't understand why it's cool with her that he had this intense connection with Kayla, that she was crying. She couldn't rip them away. It didn't matter. And now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's quote unquote into me and doesn't give a shit that Kayla is upset. That to me is alarming as a girl that he's not going to care if I'm upset. He was all about her 5 seconds ago. And now I'm supposed to believe he's all about me.
And I would be more alarmed with the fact that it seems like they never touch each other.
Well, that's true, too. But other than that, like, I don't buy it. Like, I wouldn't buy it. I would turn to him and be like, you don't give a shit if our bags are packed. Like, I just don't see it coming, being reciprocated from Connor in a real genuine way. Because we saw him have genuine feelings for someone, and it's totally different.
This is more just like him being happy that he thinks he won, or he's like the first one to figure it out. And he doesn't really care that, like, who it is. It's just, oh, I figured it out before all of you. I'm better.
I also think he's image conscious. I think he knows he's on television and he doesn't want to be a guy who's looking like he's playing some girl out. So he finds the creative way to blame Kayla. And then now he's all about Chelsea and they're, you know, going to be great. We have a bucket list of things to do, whatever. And it's like, nobody wants to watch. This is funny. Chelsea tweeted, I guess someone was like, I'm sad I'm not going to see Chelsea on the show. And she tweeted, frig. She tweeted, we filmed once a week at the honeymoon suite and they gave us their own camcorder. So you'll be seeing us. And I'm like, but will we be seeing you?
Yeah, I'm not interested in watching the Chelsea and Connor show.
Yeah, so there again, it gets spoiled.
Yeah, the full bar.
Oh, so sick of it. And then this is when they flip out. They have the most bromantic, like, reaction to this. They're just totally separated. There could not. I didn't even realize the truth booth was that big that they could have that much space in between them.
The complete opposite size, jumping separately, and then they finally just hugged and then walked back and again separated and celebrated in the house differently.
Connor was closer to kissing the picture of himself on the screen than he was to even just, like, breathing close to Chelsea.
It's so true. It's so true.
And then we get Devin's never give up on love. Like, I fucking hate that. I'm sorry for the harsh language.
No, puke. I hate it.
Okay, so we got two questions. So Brooke Ruggieri, yeah. All right, correct me, but I feel like I nailed that. Do you think there's any sort of romantic connection between Chelsea and Connor? Because I don't think I saw any attraction between them. I thought for sure they would at least kiss or something after being a perfect match. And Mia Pia, I guess I can see the connection between Connor and Chelsea, but romantically, I just don't see any chemistry. Do you think it will become more of a friendship between the perfect match?
100% a friendship. I'd be stunned if they're a couple come the not happening reunion.
I also
be happening reunion.
Oh yeah, Ryan tweeted something about that.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has the pull he thinks he does.
I don't think so either.
But here are two things. It's like Chelsea on Twitter is trying to make it seem like they're really close and like they have a like sexy flirtation going on. Like she's like, Connor, I'm gonna FaceTime you, and he's like, oh, please do. And then she like tweets out a picture of them FaceTiming, like, you know, no one's impressed if you still talk. Like, I just don't think that there was anything there. But the most telling thing here is their reaction confessional. And Chelsea's like, the matchmakers got it right on the nail. This works, guys. Like, they nailed it. And Connor is saying, write the check. And that to me is Chelsea saying, this is my perfect match. I like him. This was perfect. And Connor's like, we're going to win the money.
Yep, because that's all he cared about. It was, oh, we got one, and I'm it. But, oh, man, it just happens to be Chelsea.
Yeah, so I don't have high hopes for them, and I don't really think we're going to see them unless Kayla goes to the honeymoon suite.
I can see them actually getting, like, super bored of each other. Like, not early on, but, like, if they don't have another couple join them, I'd say within, like, a couple weeks, I think that's when things can get a little weird between them.
they don't even have any new, we don't even see them talking about anything new. It's just like, you get it. You get my situation. Your career is a great career, which it is. Like, you're smart. There is no like sharing. Like, we don't really see them. I mean, the first conversation with Kayla and Connor, he shares himself with her. And now it's just kind of like, let's go back and forth with Chelsea talking about how great her job is.
Yep.
All right. So tell us how you really feel, Brian and Allie. this I loved, though. Because Cheyenne pulls Nelson aside after the whole house is celebrating, as they should be. And Cheyenne's like, we need to have an honest conversation. And Nelson's like, but I want to go celebrate with my boy. And Cheyenne's like, all right, like, we get it. They're a match. Great. Like, now we need to move forward.
Yep. So matter of fact.
So yeah, she does the perfect, like, it's on you. Like, I don't want girls to not come to you because of me, which is like the natural inference from that is like, I don't want you to cock block me anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was great. She was just straight up, straightforward, and it's exactly what you'd expect from Cheyenne. No wishy-washy, no beating around the bush, just like, this is it.
Well, that's not exactly straightforward. It's not exactly straightforward.
But she said, like, we have to, like, move on. Like,
yeah. But she's, like, saying it's, like, for you, which I loved. Like, I'm not saying that that wasn't a great approach, but I thought that was hilarious. Like, it's, like, you know, so that you can get girls. I don't want to be in your way. So, you know, it's all about you. Like, I love that.
And then Nelson freaks out. Now, this is where I really felt that Nelson, like, was just over the top in terms of that he doesn't really even care about Cheyenne anymore. He just feels like, as a man, he has to flip out and make a scene.
You know, there was actually a really amazing extra scene. No, I'm just kidding. I told Brian that the deleted scenes were worthless, but like, how great if I just like conned you and was like, oh my god, the most amazing.
Allie just set me up horribly.
I don't think the extra scene had anything, but anyway, yeah, he loses his cool. He breaks a door when Brittany's in the room of the door that he breaks, and it's like a bathroom, so if it doesn't hit her, it almost hits her. I mean, she shrieks, mm-hmm. like, you know, it hit her. And it's because Cheyenne told him, in addition to you need to see other people, Zach and I kissed. Why is Big Daddy Nelson getting the report? Why do we even need to tell Nelson? Who gives a shit?
I guess she just wants to just be straight up, and just so he's going to find out eventually. So just, I don't know. I guess she could have just not told him and just went about her business with Zach. If she really wanted to do that, but I guess she just wanted to be straight up and just hopefully settle him down. But I mean, that didn't work at all.
Yeah. I mean, this was a dangerous situation. He's harming the apples. He's harming the doors. It's like, it's not a good look. He breaks two doors in the course of the 5 minutes.
Yeah, he slammed the screen door as if he was like locking him in. Like, oh, you're not going anywhere. We are talking this out. To me, Nelson is like the epitome of like, I know he's like a big guy, but he just seems like such a fake tough guy where in the fight, he's the one who wants to be held back so he can just shout things and throw things, but he just does what he wants to be held back. And that's what it kept feeling like here. He's like, oh, he's pushing the plants away. He's doing this, but in no way, shape, or form did I ever think he was actually going to attack Zach.
I do think it was still scary. Like, I definitely thought it was, I don't think it seemed like, it was definitely a lot of huffing and puffing and puffing his chest out, but I still think it was scary. I mean, he literally broke doors. Like, he wasn't just like, you know, stomping his feet, but.
Right. I mean, the first story he did by accident, he just slammed it too hard. And the other one, he wanted to do a scene. He just didn't realize that Brittany was behind the door. And what makes me think that is just, he was able to just like switch it off so quickly. It was like, oh, I'm sorry, Brittany. I didn't realize you were there. I'm sorry. But meanwhile, like, if you're that angry, you can't just switch off and be so calm and just apologize that quickly.
The other thing is he's sitting across the table from Zach and Cheyenne starts interjecting and he's like, I'm not going to be talked that way by a female. And it's like, okay, tough guy. Like, did you forget what this fight was about? Because is it about your ego or is it about that you like that female that you just silenced? But then Zach goes into like little boy voice and is like, I wanted to tell you, man. Like, I wanted to tell you. So that's a little shady. Is like, apparently Zach wanted to be the one to tell Nelson, but Cheyenne just kind of went off the script and did it her way.
Mm-hmm. It's a little sketch.
Do you think it would have been better if Zach approached Nelson?
I think it probably would have resulted in the same way. I think he still would have huffed and puffed and freaked out. We just would have skipped a step.
But yeah, Zach here is like, he's like, Nelson's like, maybe it could be your perfect match. I mean, this was just like complete drunk guy fighting, because Zach's like, I don't know, man. Like, if she is, if she's not, I don't know. Like, and Nelson's like, but you know, she could be like, it was just like two drunk numbskulls, like having a fake fight about nothing.
It's funny. I thought they were, they seemed both completely sober in that moment.
No way. No way.
It really felt that way. I didn't think, I didn't think they were drunk in that moment.
First of all, I don't think anyone's ever sober on our either one.
That's true. And I didn't get this sense of like the mic stammering and drunk moment. It just seemed like they were more sober than I thought they were.
First of all, Zach had a total drunk voice. Maybe he wasn't drunk, but that voice was drunk. And Nelson, I thought, when he was talking to Cheyenne, was pretty drunk. And then I just thought, you know, I thought this was a total alcohol induced, no one's really saying anything match, but who knows? Amanda, could you let us know if
let us know the alcohol intake leading up to that?
Speaking of alcohol intake, Chuck, they're doing great with segues here, because then we flashed to Chuck being like, so Nelson's definitely not my match, which I thought was a hilarious line from Chuck.
Which then leads to him being a complete hypocrite, basically saying he's not my match. He needs to move on because he's still being with people from his match. And then,
See, I wrote shut up, Chuck, and I didn't know why. That's why.
Yeah, that was why. And so at first, I thought I was going to be hating on Chuck for being a hypocrite, because he's like, oh, he needs to move. Nelson needs to move on for not being his match. But meanwhile, he was trying to reconcile things with Hannah. So I thought, hey, that's still being a hypocrite. But then B, it turns out I hated him because he then has sex with Brittany on the couch. So
Brittany, I thought here was terrifying. She's saying we would have beautiful sex, but you can't handle this. There's a lot about Chuck that makes me excited. I'm just like, whoa. And then she's like manhandling him. Like, I was terrified. Like, I was 100% terrified by Brittany's sexual prowess.
Yeah, the whole thing was, I mean, your tweet was right on point. I thought that was having sex in a public situation. Well, I was off by an episode, because here it is.
And all of this is outside in front of everyone. It is dark outside, but it's still outside. And at least Brittany owns it a little bit on Twitter. Amanda tweeted out at Brittany, now you have feelings for someone that's not your perfect match. I love you, girl, but rewind that speech about fake couples. Which I called Brittany a hypocrite before. It was cool. Just saying. And Brittany responded, I even admit in the confessional I'm an official hypocrite. That's one thing I do remember. So we didn't see that, but and then Amanda says, hell yeah, chemistry is a tough one to – oh, no, I'm sorry. She tweets, hell yeah, chemistry is a tough one to beat. And so, like, she's owning it on Twitter at least, which is, like, the least we could ask.
Yeah, definitely the least we can ask. Just considering, I mean, there's no way to deny it. Like, we're watching it unfold, so.
And then – we see Hannah talking to Devin, and I do agree with Devin here, because Hannah's like, oh, like, if he had just told me to, like, do my own thing. And Devin's like, I think this is him telling you to do your thing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
This is then so Mike or Alec, it sounded like Mike, but then I saw Alec getting up, so they fooled me.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of Kiki going up to Hannah and be like, I'm here for you, whatever you need, just come find me? Is she really, like, this type of person, or is she just being a tryhard?
No, I buy it. I totally buy it. I felt this way about Kiki from the beginning. Like, she really does seem like a girl who's friends with girls. And I also don't think you can work at – she's a Hooters waitress. I mean, Brittany is too, but I don't think you can work literally with all women and not be good at having relationships with women. But I just get the feeling that she's genuine. I think her friendship with Hannah is definitely genuine. Mm. Especially just the way that she handled Hannah getting jealous about her and Chuck. Like, Kiki handled it by being like, talk to Chuck. Like, she didn't just like wig out because she was being attacked. So I think it's genuine.
I did buy it. I did.
I definitely think there's other ways to get airtime if you're being a quote try hard, like going up and screaming at Chuck. Like, that's, you know, if it was more about her than about Hannah, she would just like wig out.
Right. Right.
So we get the storyline that Chuck has cheated many times. He's still a little kid. He's Peter Pan. I don't know if I can commit. And I'm like, that's such an excuse. Like, oh, I've cheated before, so like, whatever. I'm just like, you're a dirtbag. Like, either stand by it. He tweets later and it flipped me out. He tweets like, he retweets someone saying like, you weren't in a committed relationship. I don't get why everyone's freaking out. And he's like, exactly. And it's like, well, then don't apologize or call it cheating on a television show. Either stand by your actions or genuinely apologize for them. But he keeps trying to get it both ways.
Yeah, or just don't tell Hannah like the night before, I'm with you now. Like, if that didn't happen and he hooked up with Brittany, like, whatever. Like, okay, you're just hooking up with someone who's on your match. We've seen that a million times before. It was the fact that, like, 24 hours earlier, he was like, all right, Hannah, like, I apologize. I was stupid. Let's reconcile. Let's get back together. And then the next night, she sleeps with Brittany. That's the issue.
No, yeah, we get the whole arc of them from the beginning of Hannah being hard to get. Chuck, like, I'm going to work for it. You can trust me. She's having trust issues. He's all in on Hannah. Then they're not a match. Then he moves on. She gets a little upset, but he's, you know what, we're moving on. Then he goes back to her, exactly what you're saying. And now we see the shattering of Hannah's heart, the shattering of Hannah's trust. And we can go back to the beginning where we see why this is so major. And it's not just like Brittany, I think, could handle this. I don't think Brittany gives a shit if Chuck sleeps with Hannah tomorrow. But Hannah,
I think she'd be pissed.
I don't think she cares. She knew they were together the night before. She must have known. She didn't really seem to freak out or surprised when Hannah said it. I think, and she even says at the matchup ceremony, we squashed our sexual tension now. Everything is great. Like, I think she would sleep with someone else tomorrow, and I'm not judging her for that. I think for her, it was, we have chemistry. I want to exercise and act on that chemistry, and now I'm all set. Thanks for the good time. I think Hannah, it was a lot more emotional, and there was a lot more behind it for her, and that's why she's so upset about it. So Hannah blows Chuck off. You made me look stupid. I'm done. We're done. Which I think everyone was really proud of her for.
Please leave the bathroom now.
Yeah, I applauded that. Literally. So we get to the matchup, which infuriated me. And Cheyenne speaks to this later, which is one of the reasons why I thought it was awesome, is because the girls show up in all white and the guys show up in all black. And when Ryan questions this, they're like, oh, it's Chuck's funeral. And that was so insulting to me. Like, it's all a joke. Oh, Chuck screwed up. Like, you know, where it's Chuck's funeral. And it's almost acting like the girls are crazy. Like, Hannah has no real place to be pissed at him. And it's all a joke. And they're all mocking her. And I thought that was disgusting. So I was really happy that Cheyenne brought it up, because no one's listening to the podcast, so I can't get through to them.
Right. I mean, if you even started like the quick scene before the ceremony, they're like, let me give you a hug, Chuck, because it's probably like the only hug you're going to get. Like, how about you say no, Chuck? You're being a douchebag. Like, where's that line?
Or you're about to get reamed out and you deserve it.
Right, yeah. Maybe something like that instead.
But yeah, so this is when Brittany said, I mean, I'm just like skipping some of the matter. It doesn't matter that Melanie picks Hunter. Like, that's like, who cares? So Brittany is up there Ryan asks a leading question as usual. That's when she says like, oh, we squashed it. Now we're good. And Ryan's his trip to the boom boom room. And here comes Hannah. No, that was me the night before.
A plus line.
Boom.
I really hope it was like directly like that, and they didn't just edit it together to make it look more like that.
Such
a beautiful line. I loved it.
I don't care if they Frankenstein that and every word was different. They pulled it from somewhere else. I'm watching what I'm watching on television, and I thought it was great. Credit to her. So she just blows up his game. Like, he said, I had his heart. He said, like, do you think I like other girls? And like, she's like, that's why I'm guarded. She 100% regrets it. He can eat an eggplant. Like, you know, and the thing is like, Brittany's making faces as though Hannah's crazy. And I'm like, this makes sense. This is clear. Hannah's well-spoken. She's communicating valid points. I'm still having nightmares from, you're the definition of stupidity. Like, that was horrifying. That was crazy. Make faces at yourself. This was gold.
I think Brittany didn't think that the script would turn and that the girls would all side with Hannah. I think she's in her mental mindset, she's like, I want to be on the right side of this, so I'm going to play Hannah being crazy. And then it just completely flipped on her. It was like, oh, no, actually, Hannah's completely right. You're looking bad, and everyone realizes that. So now she looks worse.
I don't think – that's the thing is I think for the first time in Ariana One history, the girls are appropriately pissed at Chuck. I don't think that Brittany's lost friends here. Yes, Kiki, you know, there's no love lost between Kiki, Hannah, and Brittany. But I know Cheyenne is close with her. There's, like, that little scene where Cheyenne's talking to – Brittany and telling her the lowdown that they were watching. Like, I think that there are people who are on Brittany's side just in terms of, like, you know, whatever, like, you can get it. And I don't know that really the whole house has turned on Brittany. I think it's more the girls are supporting Hannah because of what Chuck has done to both girls. I don't know that Brittany's public enemy number one.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that she's now the enemy. I think that Brittany thought Brittany did not think that the reaction was going to be everyone speaking up to support Hannah, Cheyenne speaking up to saying all you guys are douchebags. I just thought she's thinking, I just wanted to look to be in the right, and everyone's going to side to think, oh, it's just Hannah being crazy. But no, all the girls are saying Hannah has every right to be upset. Not that they're mad at Brittany, but that Hannah has every right to be upset with Chuck.
Yeah, so that's when Chuck says, like, oh, I'm here for a reason. I effed up. I didn't come here to F. It's just what happens. I apologize. And this is what bothers me. Like, don't apologize if you're not sorry, if you feel like you didn't do anything wrong. And basically, what I love, which was, I literally wrote in the notes, icing on the effing cake, is when Hannah says, I have no animosity towards Brittany. She showed me who he really is, which I've been waiting. I don't know. I've been watching MTV since I was 7. I'm now 24. I've been waiting my entire life for someone on any reality show to get mad at the guy who actually did you wrong. I'm so glad I don't have to scold anyone for that this week. It was like music to my ears.
And where's Devlin calling out Chuck for sleeping with two people that both aren't his matches? I didn't hear that. Where was that?
Nope, that is fair. That's fair. Just like we said last week, like, Ryan doesn't call out the dudes for whatever reason. But do you think that Ryan's afraid of Chuck?
No, like, I think it's just the double standard of life. I think that's basically what it comes down to.
All right, so Brittany picks Mike. Who cares? Stacey picks Alec. Begrudgingly, like, Alec is like, she doesn't get it. And then Caleb picks Zach, which I saw you tweeted out, like, something like that makes no sense or something like that. Right. And you're not alone. Genovic Aceveda said, why is Kayla seemingly not attempting to make connections? She picks random people at the ceremony and it seems to ruin the flow of people's matches. She ruined it a week for Chelsea with her connection to Connor and for Cheyenne by picking Zach. But I think this just shows that they must be strategizing somewhat, because I guess they were one of the four that could be a match week one, but
okay.
I mean, I think Brittany or Hunter or Stacey and Alec, I think you can rule out Zach and Caleb. But maybe I'll eat my words.
But yes, that's weird. So if they were doing that, then why did Melanie pick Hunter? So the whole thing doesn't make sense.
I don't know if they still think that they can just do 2 out of 3 and not eliminate a match.
These people aren't smart.
All right. So, but speaking of smart, our girl.
Cheyenne. Cheyenne Achai.
Your favorite of mine. America's sweetheart. Cheyenne, tell them where they can go.
My future sister, stepsister.
Tell them how it is. Well, not stepsister by adoption, unless only your mom's going to adopt her. But
wait, what?
Never mind. An adopted sister isn't a stepsister.
What is it?
A sister.
It's just adopted sister?
Stepsister is like you share a parent. But not another. Okay. No, I'm sorry. It's like your parents got married. Right. So it's like if, you know, your mom and my mom got married, we would be stepkids.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, family 101. So Cheyenne gives it to him.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Mic drop.
Absolutely. The David Murphy of Are You the One?
Yeah, yeah. So, full disclosure, We lost about a half hour of Brian's recording, so it was just me for a half hour. And while I would be fine with that,
go me.
We're re-recording it, so that went differently in the first version. Anyway, so Cheyenne basically drops knowledge. First of all, she's pissed that Rashida calls up Nelson, and everyone's just fine with that. She and acting like Nelson didn't go total apeshit the night before or that day. Who knows with the timing? She thankfully, because nobody listens to me talking, thankfully tells them how disrespectful it is to Hannah to call it Chuck's funeral. Mm-hmm. Like Hannah doesn't have feelings. She says they all need to come together and work together. And she's never seen men disrespect women more than they do in this house. And so, you know, she just the voice of the people here and just lays it out. She's not afraid.
Yeah, and I love that it was not even prompted with a question. I think Devlin just said, so Shane, what's going on? And then boom, just went right into the speech. It was perfect. Everyone needed to hear it. So,
yeah, I think she was pissed that Nelson didn't really catch any flack for his outburst.
Yeah, and just the whole the black and white thing and everything. So yeah. It was all, and you could definitely tell, like, they kept cutting to her. It was like building up and building up and building up. So I wonder if she was like the first or second person to be called, that things would have played out a little differently.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that that was sparked by everyone not caring about Nelson and Rashida, like, still picking him and not even saying, like, you know, I didn't love him last night, but I'm going to pick Nelson. You know, like, there was no nod to that. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, set her up.
Definitely.
So Alex Panamoran asks, do you think Cheyenne's speech will change anything about the way the guys start acting? Will we see this moment as the turning point of the season that started this group's path to victory?
I don't think it's going to change anyone. I think these people are who they are. And the one speech by one person is not just going to be their breaking glass moment and think, oh, I'm going to be a good person from now on. Like, that's not going to happen. I think them getting a perfect match and it being the midway point and them getting a little more information and ruling people out is really the starting point. But the narrative can be that Cheyenne's speech was their win one for the Gipper speech.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense with the whole arc, like, that this could be a moment. I also think, though, Cheyenne, it really is speaking for all the girls. Like, Cheyenne has good relationships with all the girls in the house, and all the girls are applauding this. So I think Cheyenne is just saying what everyone else wants to say. And maybe she's paving the way for them to be, you know, have more self-respect, like, to demand more respect than they're getting. And, you know, hopefully it's heard. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I wish more people stood up and said what she said, but.
Well, that would be a really long show. I mean, one's. So then she picks Devin, and, like, what the hell is he wearing? He'll do anything to get attention. Yep.
The tiger printed legs.
I think they're cheetah print, but I'm going to be the jersey decider here. That's on fine. The leopard print. The expert, the resident expert. So Hannah picks Austin. Kiki picks Chuck. And we find out that the blackout rule holds.
Yeah, I didn't even think it would, but I just don't like the twist. And it's this further shows it. It's just a waste of time, a waste of energy, and a waste of what could have been a different twist.
Yeah, so Ebony Hines wanted to know, were you guys surprised to learn that even though they have a confirmed perfect match, they still could black out if they don't get additional beans? I'm happy. I am surprised, but I am happy that they're going to follow through. At least it's like has a real consequence as opposed to the 11th girl twist where we all find out episode 10 that they actually all can get paid. Right. You know, real twist.
Yeah.
Not episode 10, but basically.
Mm. It was pretty close. It was much closer to the end than you would want it to be.
Yeah, definitely closer than episode 5, which is where we're finding this out.
It's just weird. Like, why wouldn't they just say that in the beginning also? Like, why don't they just... Like, I guess they did, but there was so much ambiguity in it that they could have just done it anyway. So maybe, do you think they're because they're saying it that they are going to black out again, or do you think they're just saying it just to clarify the rules?
It's interesting. I was going to say I appreciate the clarification because we usually don't even get that. But I do... It's tough. I think that's an interesting point that they could be just saying it because it's going to come again, or they may just try to wave it in their face like they've been all season to try to, like, make you come back after the commercial to see the beans.
Right.
Who knows? So time will tell.
It's tough to tell with them TV.
So they get two beams, which means that one is Chelsea and Connor, and there's only one match among the other 9 couples. Who do you think that is?
The only thing that makes sense would be Stacey and Alec, just because, I mean, they've gotten airtime. Everything else, I feel like, would be just throwing stuff against the wall and hoping it sticks. So,
well, Kiki and Chuck also got some.
Yeah, Kiki and Chuck will be the other one. Yeah.
The only thing is if Stacey and Alec are not a match, or are a match, then Brittany and Hunter aren't. And I'm still thinking that they're a match from week one.
Right. But yeah, I mean, they're like the Southern things, so that could be it. And then if they're a match and Kiki and Chet, then there are some storylines that I guess could play out. But I mean, they've pretty much gone their separate ways, Brittany and Hunter, since then. So,
well, that's the thing. I mean, if Stacy had allowed Alec and Stacy to go their separate ways, they would have had to. And I mean, I could see on paper why someone would pair the two of them together, but I do think it's why it's like not what Brittany wants. So it wouldn't surprise me that they could be paired as a match, but would have gone their separate ways because Brittany's just not interested in that Southern thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, not all perfect matches or work out because of love. So maybe Brittany and Hunter would just be friends. So
most perfect matches don't work out. So I guess that's true. Honestly, maybe Brittany's not into Hunter because he's not exactly strategical. If you go with your heart and fail and fail and fail, like eventually you'll hit it.
Eventually, broken clock worked twice a day.
God, Hunter. Every week he has like a buffoon comment about strategy.
Following your heart, follow your heart.
But Sue Cohen tweeted, Plainview Sue, friend of the podcast, mom of the podcast, at Alec. Is Alec listening to the Are You the One podcast? Because he quoted exactly what I said about lust versus love. And she did.
Yeah. He jumped in the back to the future time machine and boom, heard it, went back to the show and spat it out.
Yeah. So Megan Flannery tweeted or wrote to us a really long comment. I appreciate it. I read the whole thing. It was great. But just to sum it up for the interest of time here, she said, doesn't it seem unbelievable how bad they're doing getting the 10 matches figured out? She basically says what you said earlier about how, besides knowing that one of the three from the first matchup is a match and now knowing one perfect match, they have literally no information.
Yeah, like in terms of ceremony, season two is doing worse because they had the blackouts. But in terms of like math and figuring it out, they're doing like the worst you can possibly be doing, because getting one is the worst thing that can ever happen to this show, because then everyone who's a pair thinks that they're the one who's the match, so they won't separate. So that's the thing that holds them back, is not getting a few so they can like start to mix around, and also just getting one so now everyone stays together.
Yeah, I mean, last season was definitely aided by those blackouts. And Alex Pandemaran wants to know, according to the Are You the One math blog graph referenced last week, this season officially is doing worse than season two, which was exponentially harder due to the 11th girl. Is this group destined to lose? And is this something MTV hopes for? Brian, you were much more surprised at this news the first time we told you.
Shocking, I know, right?
So season one, at this point, week five had narrowed down, I'm estimating based on the graph, less than 50 perfect matches possibilities.
Which is amazing. It's kind of amazing how good season one did.
Well, they had a tremendous jump from week one to week two. Like they went from at the start of week one, week one having just under a million matches. I'm trying to put the commas in by the zeros. Mm-hmm. And then week two, they had under 10,000.
Wow.
So who remembers what the hell happened there? But so week five at this point, so just to recap, under 50 left for season one. They finished week seven. Week five for season two, they had just under 1,000, about 800, I would estimate. And week three has closer to just under 1,000, probably around 900 or even more, just under the 1,000 mark. And they finished week 10. So like, if they keep doing this poorly, there isn't more time. Like no, they're really aiming to lose here.
Yeah, they know they need to get a little lucky in like this week or next and just happen to throw someone into the truth booth and get a perfect match and jump up to like five by like either next week or the week after. And then it's like, all right, now we can really start to move the pieces around.
I mean, that's easier said than done. I don't know. I don't really feel like they have any leads, at least not that we've seen.
No, there's really no couples now in the house outside of Zach and Cheyenne.
The only hope is that like Mel picking Hunter here and them putting Kayla and Zach back in from week as a callback to week one, that does show to me that they have some strategy. Mel picking Hunter only because to me that makes zero sense. We've seen no story of that, and we have seen Mel and Tyler have interest, so you'd think that they would pair up automatically. So there, I want to believe that there's something going on behind the scenes we're not seeing, and if that's the case, then maybe they are doing a better job than I think of them tracking week to week.
I hope so. I mean, hearing Cheyenne say
oh, I was going to pick Zach. What the hell's going on? Is a little disconcerting. Now, maybe that was kind of like a forced line to say in a confessional. So hopefully they, Cheyenne really knew that she wasn't picking Zach this week, but it always goes back to, I don't understand how everyone doesn't know who's picking who going into a ceremony.
Yeah. I'm more inclined for it to be like, you know, fed in, like, what would you do if someone else picks Zach? Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a fed line, but who knows?
I hope so.
And I don't know why. Like, I'd rather see the strategy. I'd rather see the tension of them. Like, when they told Alec he has to pick Stacy and he didn't want to. Like, I want to see, like, Cheyenne being like, no, I want to pick Zach. Like, I want to see something.
And they show it sometimes. So if like, they didn't show it at all, I'd be like, okay, that fits with the show. They just don't want to show strategy. This is strictly love. But then they show some strategy stuff. So it's like, why half-ass it? Just either give us all or give us nothing.
And I think I said this before, but like, they give it to us in the challenge. Like, the audience of the show can handle it. We want to see it. It makes no sense. If this is supposed to be a feeder to the challenge, you know, they're adding some strategy here to the real world. Can we see some strategy in Are You the One?
Yep.
That actually has a strategic element built in?
Agree.
Okay, so moving right along. Andrew Kirk, bringing back the aftermatch segment, D-bag move of the week. If you could only give the award to either Chuck or Nelson, who would take it and why?
I'll give it to Chuck, because Chuck's was more of like the douchebag move, and Nelson was more of like the asshole move.
I'll agree. Alex Panda Moran, does the fact that Connor will spend half the season in the honeymoon suite hurt his chances at a possible appearance on the challenge, despite probably being the person who most is physically meant for it?
It definitely doesn't help his chances being off the air for half the season, other than some brief appearances at the ceremonies. But I think if this theme fits for a season and everything works out, that won't hold them back. They're not going to say, all right, well, Connor wasn't on for the second half of the season, so no one knows who he is, so we're not going to pick him. So it doesn't help, but I don't think it hurts him significantly.
I don't know. I feel like we've seen people we recently thought were built for the challenge not get cast in Leighton and Nicole from The Real World. So it's kind of like, yeah, is it that they're not fitting the theme? Is it that they didn't get good enough feedback from the audience that they want to bring them back? Is it, you know, scheduling? But I don't know that because he's a 6'8 behemoth that he's a shoe-in. But I mean, if they want him, they've pulled from stranger places. But also, like, is it even fair if he's on at 6'8? Like, can anyone just, like, arm span wise, like, keep up with that?
I mean, Zach would be the only one that I can see physically matching up, but
is he 6'8? Like, just the inches gives you some advantage in a lot of it. I mean, it slows you down too.
Inches always help you.
Yeah, we hear that from Brittany about Chuck. So Sophia Russo, who do you guys think, she asked this last week and it got cut off. So who do you guys think would be your perfect match if you were on it? And then she said she sees Alec and Allie, and I don't know if she's just being like, she's just teasing me, or is she really trying to set me up?
Do you see yourself with Alec?
Well, it's funny because I follow all of them on Twitter for the podcast. And like, Alec has like been way too around me recently. Like, he like has Rutgers connections. He was at The Hunt, which is like a huge thing that a ton of my friends are at. So it's like, I've almost run into him like way too many times. But no, I don't see, I mean, he's a nice guy, but I don't see it. I would say, I don't think my perfect match would be on the show, but I think Zach would be like my perfect bro. Like, I feel like we'd have a real strong bromance. Hey, like, yeah. A lot of my friends are like him. So solid bro action.
Yeah,
what about you?
I don't think anyone on a MTV reality show would be my perfect match that I would want to bring home to Plainview Sue. Although,
gun to your head.
I'll say Mel, just because she seems the most normal. She's from Long Island, so I'll go with
that. She spits out fire, though. We only see her being hateful. I guess she gave Rashida a nice
yeah,
thing to this.
Yeah, she's competitive. I like that, so we'll go with Mel. She could be good on the challenge, too.
Secret. I think she'd be good on the challenge, but if they are considering airtime, she doesn't have a chance.
No.
It's almost like, why? You always have to ask, like, why aren't they getting airtime? Did MTV not like them? Or did they not do anything? Or were there just other compelling stories? Like, you know, is it going to be like Max Dawson, where he gets invited back because the producer saw potential in him? And even though the audience didn't get that edit, like, does Mel have something we're not seeing? Or are we never going to see her again?
She's probably more the yawn as opposed to Hannah.
Y'all net, bitch.
Oh my god! If she said that to Chuck in some capacity, I would have just passed out.
In your dreams. So Biz wrote in the comment section on rapizawebsite.com, am I the only one getting a West vibe from Devin? I think it's his smartest guy in the room way of talking to people and the smirk he has when someone's trying to argue against him. He could be the next great MTV manipulator, especially if they throw Chuck into the mix to give him a blindly loyal number on his side.
Maybe. I mean, setting the bar high, like for someone like Wes, who's one of the better people that's ever been on the challenge, is kind of a high standard, but I mean, he does have that. He is very smart, like we've said. He does seem very manipulative, but he's kind of more like the annoying manipulative, and Wes is like the villain, like everyone loves to hate him. So I don't know.
No, I think you nailed it. I do think that Devin has pretty strong challenge potential. I think we do. What's great about Are You the One feeding into it is like, we've really kind of come away from the old days where it was just like a sloppy hookup fest and then they would compete during the day in challenges. And I feel like this young blood who are willing to hook up, who are willing to make connections like that, like that adds interest. Like Wes has a long time living girlfriend. Like he's not coming on the show to hook up. So Devin adds that aspect. And I feel like he is very manipulative and it would be interesting, like old school Wes, when Wes used to hook up with girls on the show. I think he has potential. He's more like a hippie Wes though. Right. Wes isn't that granola-y.
No. Wes has the monster truck. So,
One thing I just want to point out, I don't read recaps of any kind or listen to podcasts about Are You the One, not because there's not great stuff out there, but because I'm too afraid that I'd accidentally rip them off. It's like when somebody used to tell you their idea for a paper or something, you're like, oh, now that's all I can think of.
Big fat liar. But,
sorry?
Big fat liar.
There you go. So I'm more unintentional, right. But so Betches Love This does a very popular recap that's been sent to me by friends. That's been sent to around by the cast. So it's supposed to be hysterical. I recommend it based on recommendations.
I haven't read it either. I've been meaning to read it like after we record our podcast. So just stuff on that I can't say, but I haven't read it yet, but I've heard good things.
And then I don't know if you know this. Well, I lied. I know that you know this, but you didn't at the time that I had a little altercation with Chuck today.
It's so good. I want to hear it again.
This is all incidental contact. Like, I'm not trying to, like, get involved with these people. So you'll see what I mean. So he tweeted, all I'm guilty of is giving in to two beautiful women when they wanted me. You try saying no to that. And maybe I should have just kept it to myself, but like, God, I can't deal with that. So I retweeted that and said something like, you know, is there a vom emoji on iOS, you know, 9.1? Cause like, come on, man. And, you know, he favorites everything. So I assumed he had a positive attitude. So then Megan Flannery tweeted at me, lash tweets. So remember, I'm a Twitter noob here. When I asked this, did Chuck favorite me calling him a douche? And retweeted him saying, favoriting him, or put a screen cap of him favoriting her calling him an effing douche. So I said, yeah, haha, he's a good sport, which I thought was pretty generous. And she wrote back, that was the first time I ever Twitter hated on someone, so I appreciate the positive feedback. Thank you, like to Chuck directly.
Right.
He writes back, keep working on the hate, revise it and bring it back to me. You'll get there someday, champ, which is so friggin' condescending. And like unnecessary, because she was being playful. And I falsely assumed that if you like every single thing that someone's saying on Twitter, again, this can't be the worst thing that was said about you, that, you know, she appreciates the feedback. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wrote to Chuck and her, who is I Am Lady Pants, the favorite and an insult. You've really made it at I Am Lady Pants. And he then removes her from the conversation and says, now all she has to do is be a part of an irrelevant podcast and think people give a shit about her opinions.
Woohoo! No press, bad press.
Well, it's also like, I definitely don't think people give a shit about my opinions.
No, we've never pretended that people care.
If I could pause here for a moment. Nothing says you're irrelevant like knowing exactly who I am.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But like, I didn't want to say, I did think about saying something like, you know, the podcast is only as irrelevant as the show it's about, which is your show. But I didn't want to insult, you know, our podcast, just like he insulted his own show. So I don't even come for these people. Like, I'm from Jersey. Like, if I came for you, you would know it because I would hit you in the face like Kayla and Connor. Not literally. I don't hit people.
No, we don't support violence.
I know. I'm also like, I'm not trying to get on these people's bad side. Like, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt where possible. But, you know, it's impossible in this episode. So I obviously retweeted that. Obviously. And I said, I feel like irrelevant is generous because I'll play along. And that went in two different directions. So first, let's see. Oh, Chuck quote tweeted that and said, what can I say? I'm a nice guy. And at this point, I'm done with Chuck. Like, that wasn't interesting and it's not going to warrant a response. But Tyler felt differently because he tweeted at both of us, hey, now hug and make up.
Hey,
and I wrote just to Tyler because, like, I'll chat with him all day. I said, I'm so misunderstood, unicorn emoji. And he said, hey, me too, hashtag perfect match, LOL. Which, even as a joke over Twitter with someone I don't know, it just reaffirms that I don't like someone telling me I'm their perfect match. Which, obviously, he was kidding. I'm not trying to be like he's creepy. But then AJ, who's at LilAxe15 on Twitter, used a big axe to grind against Chuck. And writes to us, you have only 4,000 followers after 5 episodes and the ratings keep going down. That's the definition of irrelevancy, even though you put yourself on TV. Bye, Felicia.
Is Bye, Felicia still a thing?
It is now. Boom. Don't come for AJ because he or she, AJ's gender ambiguous, will come for you.
Is it that? Is it?
All right. I knew you were going to say that. Allie and AJ. Boom.
There you go.
And while I really appreciated the support, I, like, don't want to be starting shit with Chuck. So I just wrote back to Lil X and said, hey, now, I like that show, but thanks for the backup. And Lil X wrote back, I like the show, too, but they should be thankful you guys talk about it, which Tyler has expressed before. And you know what? I get why Chuck feels the need to lash out, because I'm sure he's getting a lot of shit. But, like, at the same time, I feel like if you're not an asshole, then you don't care when people call you an asshole. Like, I'm not upset that person said my profile picture needs work. I'm not upset that Chuck called me irrelevant because I'm okay with myself. And, like, Alec's a perfect example of that. Like, we talked a ton of shit about Alec in our preview and our first episode. He, like, tweeted it out, was like, listen to me get ripped apart, because as we see on the show, he's not an asshole, so he's okay, like, with laughing at himself for what it is. Chuck clearly is a douchebag because he's on the defense, like, can't handle it. Right. And, you know, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen, bro.
Get out. I mean, I think one of the best qualities to have is being able to make fun of yourself. So if you can't do that, you have no place in my world.
Second to that is people willing to make fun of me on Twitter when I don't reach out to them at all. So please keep it up, Chuck. I appreciate it. I appreciate the press.
No press, bad press. I don't even understand what that means. I know we say it a lot.
Where's from? Well, because Jenny Nat Miller got pissed at me over something. And I want to say Lauren Ashley said something about, like, they're no press. Like, don't worry about that. No press or something. Okay. No, she said no press is bad press or all press is good press. And I was like, we're bad press. We're no press. Like, we joked about right. that.
I forgot Jenny was pissed at us. Fun times.
Yeah. So, you know, water under the bridge.
There you go.
So that's all I have.
All right. This was, I gotta say, doing like a podcast on a repeat is like one of the weirdest experiences you can ever have in your life. So I recommend people have a conversation with someone and then reenact the conversation. It's a wild, wild ride. So,
woo!
There's that.
Podcasters gone wild. I forgot. I actually forgot something, speaking of which.
Okay.
So to steal from Rob, at this hour, I can report that Twitter conversation continued. And I'm reading this on the fly here. So Megan Flannery wrote, I've been hating on people online since AOL and 56K modems were high tech and cool. We used to give out our little middle school ex-boyfriend's numbers in the sex chat room late at night, and those were house lines.
Oh, boy.
Next thing you know, I'll go from 14 followers to 1,400 overnight. My Twitter star must be rising, right? But at least she's not showing her face and ruining her reputation on an irrelevant TV show like yourself, which I am not showing my face except in the profile picture that needs work.
Right.
But I may be ruining my reputation on an irrelevant TV show. But I appreciate the love, but I'm not trying to start a war. And breaking, Haley Strong tweeted at us, okay, I'm so in, who's host of Bachelor stuff. She also recently joined Jordan Parhar on the Big Brother Happy Hour to talk about 90 Day Fiancé. So check that out. And that's just from memory. I didn't write that down. And she tweeted, okay, I'm so in on Zach and Cheyenne. Looking forward to your thoughts. Maybe you won't be looking forward to our thoughts because we're not so in on Zach and Cheyenne. Them individually, for sure.
Individually, definitely.
So that now is actually all I have.
Okay. So now again, that'll do it. We'll subscribe at robiswebsite.com/Sean's iTunes. You can follow me at Bus Driver's Route, and they can send hate to you at...
You can follow me at Lash Tweets. I'm saying it slowly because I guess I said something wrong last week. It got edited out. So Lash Tweets.
At Lash Tweets.
That's probably likely to get it.
let's just end this down before something blows up and we have to do it again. So we'll be back next time, episode 6. Until then, have a good one.
Bye.